Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3. We enter this section that begins to talk about the qualifications of a bishop, the qualifications of a pastor, the qualifications of an elder. All three of those titles are titles that are used for the same office. Elder doesn't always refer to the office of a pastor. It can simply mean a spiritually mature person. But as we see here, and as we move into 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to step back, and this is more of a teaching message this morning. You know, I know what I want to teach, but normally I also want to move, and people that will attend services, you feel that. You ever been in a service, you feel me, I'm trying to, and I have to be careful if I'm not trying to play the Holy Spirit, but I want to infect you. I want to move you. I want you to respond beyond Sunday. I know what it's like to sit there and to be excited and motivated, and then Monday comes. I want to try to infect you the best I can, but today I also want to just teach you a little bit. Well, let's read these first seven verses, and then I'll show you where we're headed with this. 1 Timothy chapter 3, let's read these seven verses. We'll really focus on verse 1. It says this: "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity." And then this parenthesis: "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" Verse 6: "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil." In the next week or two, I'm probably going to take me a couple of weeks to get through these, we will look at these qualifications of a bishop. The word bishop just means overseer. The word pastor just means shepherd. The word elder, again, just means spiritually mature one. And it could be that person that is a pastor or a group of pastors that are leading a specific flock. But what I want you to just look at a couple of things here in verse 1. Really, we're going to look at verse 1. And you'll see the title of the message is Ordination, What's It All About? I want you to understand this, that I want you to understand who the authority is in the Lord's churches. And it's not the pastor. It's important that you understand that. And I want you to appreciate and understand and love God's design and His churches. I want you to understand this, just this simple thing about ordination. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 7. We went through that last week, but it's amazing how long you could spend in passages if you wanted to preach every word and every depth. And part of me tries to determine where is our church at, how deep can we go, and have each person leave with some feeding. But here's what Paul says when he's talking about God's great salvation that we see it spoken of. We've had several messages on that and concluded last week with chapter 2. But Paul said this great salvation, he says in verse 7, then he says, "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." I want to focus on where he says, "Wherefore I am ordained a preacher." And then when we see in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, it says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." I love being a pastor. I never had intended to be a pastor. I'm not going to blame God. I have a desire to be a pastor. There's nothing I've done that I've loved more in my life other than being a pastor. And you can give me the problems, and I'm okay with the problems. If We deal with people. I mean, if I just dealt with myself, I would have problems. I absolutely love it. And then there's this place that I wonder, I don't know if there's any men, if there's any young men in here, you say, man, I have the desire. I want to be a pastor. Well, then you say, well, then what does it take? And who has the authority? I preached at a church a couple years ago. Went down to Texas for my friend Josh McGee, and it was his ordination service. And so I had talked to enough of the deacons and their church, and I said, do you even know what's going on? Do you even know what an ordination service is? And they said, no, we don't know. I said, do you even have a thought with what it's about? And they said, no, we don't know. And I said, well, I said, I think it's biblical. I said, I think we need to do that. I said, but will you allow me to preach a message to your church? Because I don't want to just do something, right? I don't want it to look like it's just pomp and circumstance and nobody knows what's going on. But I also want us to understand what's God doing in all of this, right? So I preached and I taught them. And as I see this, and it says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. So maybe there's men in here. You say, you know, I want to be a preacher. I want to be a pastor. Well, there's that internal burden. There's that internal desire. And then there's an external validation, right? What that is that's what ordination is. It's being ordained. It's being approved. It's being set apart. But who is the ordainer? Who ordains? And where do they get that authority? And so I want you guys, I want you to appreciate that this morning. And this is important. I want to tell you what I believe. I believe that authority is not in the pastor, but in the church. And I want you to make sure you understand what a church is, right? Because there's a lot of confusion today. That a church is a group of people that have covenanted together, that have united together, that commit to love one another, serve one another, and forbear one another. Because the more you hang around people, the more they'll get on your nerves. But it's for the common cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we might reach our neighbors, that we might reach our friends, that we might reach our families, that we might reach people for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord establishes churches. I don't believe that there's any such thing as a universal church. I believe the only kind of church that exists is a local, visible church. You see, when someone's saved, they become part of the family of God. They become a child of God. They do not become part of some universal, invisible church. You can't find it in the Bible. And I know where people want to suggest it's in the Bible, and it's just not there. So I believe this, Hope Baptist Church, I'm speaking to you. One day, you know, I trust, unless Jesus comes back, and that would be the greatest thing that could happen, that you'll have to pick another pastor. And maybe you'll need to ordain, because the authority is in the church, not the pastor. I'll explain that, because there's part of this ordaining process with the laying on of hands. We'll talk about that a little bit this morning. The Bible even uses the term of a presbytery, of a group of ordained elders or spiritually mature men. What is all that about, right? But I want you to first understand that if a man desires the office of a bishop, it's a good thing. I would love you to want to be a pastor one day. I would love you to want to be a pastor one day. I would love every young boy, every young man in this room. I would love that to be an option in your heart to go, man, I'd like to be a pastor. And then just allow the Lord to carry your heart. I think it's a good thing. He says this in verse 1. He says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. But then how do you become a pastor? I want you to understand the authorities in the church. So I'm going to take you back to Matthew chapter 16. I want to take you there. So this is important. I know this feels like class a little bit. But I want you to learn a few things and to understand it's when the Lord establishes churches, He gave them amazing, incredible authority. He gave them incredible power, if you will. I do want to make one thing clear. It's not unlimited authority, and it's not unlimited power. I'm not suggesting that in any way, shape, or form. You understand that Roman Catholicism teaches that they have the ultimate power to excommunicate. What they would teach is when they remove you from their church, their teaching of excommunication is they've removed you and your soul is now damned for hell. You understand that's what excommunication is about. We don't believe that. We don't believe the Bible teaches that. But what's fascinating is there is incredible authority, and it's within the church. It's within those that have covenanted together, that have joined together to serve the Lord for the common cause of the gospel. Look over to Matthew chapter 16. In fact, I'll turn over there with you. Matthew chapter 16. This is that famous passage where Jesus asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you're John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Verse 15, Jesus said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Anointed One of God, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," that Bar-Jonah, just son of Jonah, "blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now verse 18 is an incredibly controversial verse for some. And Jesus looks and he says unto Peter, he says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter." It's the word Petros, which means small pebble or stone. "Thou art Peter," it's a different word, Petros. "And upon this rock," Petra, it's a different word, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Hell, again, can either mean the place of the dead or death, or it can mean the place of torment. When Jesus says, "and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," I believe what Jesus was saying, he was saying, you are Peter, you are Petros. You are a stone, a small pebble, and upon this rock, Petra. The only other time that Petra refers to a person, Petra was a large boulder, a large stone. It typically talked about a large boulder and a large stone. But when Jesus said, "upon this Petra," he was referring to himself. He said, "upon this rock will I build my church." Jesus didn't build his church upon a man. He built his church upon himself. He said, "upon this rock, upon this Petra, will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." You see, I have several components of faith in my life. I've had several discussions this week. It's been fun with different people that I've talked to that do not believe in the perfect Word of God. They do not believe we have the inerrant perfect Word of God as it was given and as it is eternally. I believe we do. You know why I believe that? Because the Bible says that. Here's what I believe. I begin with the Bible. The Bible claims that we will have His Word perfect. Not one jot or one tittle. It was good to know. Roy told me this past week. What were they doing, Roy? They were having some kind of just trivia with management. I'm telling you what, if that doesn't show that management, I'm telling you what, get a job! You know, but they were, I've been there, done that. I so love that I don't have to do trivia just to figure out, anyway. But they said, "What is the dot over the I?" And Roy was like, "It's either jot or tittle." And he said, "Tittle." And they're like, "You're right." And so Roy got, but here's the key. The Bible says that not the smallest points of punctuation will go away. We have that. So I start with this. Here's what I start with. I believe this. The perfect Word of God exists today. I'm going to find it. It's why I use the King James Bible. I would prefer not using 16th century Elizabethan English. Here's the interesting thing. If you want to use the text that I'm convinced is the perfect Word of God, Jesus validated the Old Testament, the Masoretic text, and the Textus Receptus was used for 1900 years, that's why I'm a King James guy. There's no other English Bible in widespread print that's from the text that God preserved and used for 1900 years. That's why I use it. Because you know what? I look and I'm going to find the perfect text because it exists today. God's a big enough God where He can preserve it. Now, secondly, He said, upon this rock, upon this Petra will I build my church. Upon Himself will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I also then begin here. I say, the Lord's kind of church will exist today. I want to find that. I want to be a part of that. And so He says this. So His kind of church will exist from the time that Jesus established it. And I believe He had already established it by Matthew chapter 16. And here's what He says then, and I bring you all of this for verse 19. But you know, I'm a preacher and I can't ignore just verses. I didn't want to preach that much for all of this. And Abby's like, Dad, you're killing us. She's not. She's not up there at all. But look at verse 19. He then gives great authority to His churches. He didn't give this authority to Peter. He gave this authority to His churches, and I'll prove that to you, and I'll show that He mentions this further. Look at verse 19. He says, and I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged He His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. It wasn't His time yet. But look at verse 19. Look at the authority. Look at the power that He gives His churches. He says, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's the gospel. I want to tell you this, that His churches are responsible for taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is why it's important. It's important for your kids. I want you guys to know this. What you're going to feel incredible pressure for is what's called freelance Christianity. That you don't have to do this old-fashioned thing and gather together with a group of people to serve the Lord. You don't have to, but it was God's plan that we assemble together. That's what the word ecclesia, translated church, means. It means called out assembly, and the only kind of assembly is a visible one. So all of our teens, one day it's going to be like, you know what? You can just stay home and live stream it. That's not scriptural assembly. You know what? If you're sick, man, live stream it. If you're in the week, listen to messages. But I want you to know this. The authority that the Lord gave was to His kind of assembly. And now what you'll see here, He says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's amazing. I want you to turn over to Matthew 18, where He begins to give instruction of discipline to His first church. And so some of you may not realize, I'm being very clear, at least to me. The Lord's church didn't start on Pentecost. It already existed. It was empowered at Pentecost. Okay? And He told them to wait. There were already 120 assembled in Acts chapter 1. It's not the beginning of His church. It was the empowerment of His church and the great explosion. 3,000 souls were added unto them, added unto something that already existed. And when Jesus says, I will build my church, that doesn't mean it didn't exist. If I said, I will build Hope Baptist Church, or we will build Hope Baptist Church into a beacon of light to reach this community, it doesn't mean that hope doesn't exist. It means that we have a future vision of a plan we will build. When Jesus said, I will build my church, it doesn't mean it didn't exist. Future tense doesn't say it doesn't exist, but it already did. Now, Matthew 18, let's look at this. I want you to show you again. I have a point, method to my madness. Verse 15, Jesus speaking to His apostles here, He says this. He gives just how to get along within the Lord's churches. If somebody offends you, He says, moreover, verse 15, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. That's good. Verse 16, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee an heathen and a publican. Now He's speaking to them as that church that already existed. Now look at verse 18. You'll see it almost repeats what He said in chapter 16. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two or three agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them also. I believe that's speaking of the church. When two or three of us are gathered together, the Lord will be in the midst of us. I want to show you one more reference to this authority. He says, whatsoever you loose, I'll loose. Whatsoever you bind, I'll bind. Steve, I don't believe you and I have that as individuals. I believe, though, the authority is within our church. I don't believe I have that as a pastor. That wasn't given to pastors, that whatsoever I bind will be bound, whatsoever I loose will be loosed. But it is the authorities within the body of Christ, and each independent church is a fully functioning body of Christ. Now look over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I want you to see here the final reference, because this will help you. I want you just to, whoa, what's happening here? John chapter 20, this is after Jesus resurrected from the dead. They were having a church service on Sunday night. They hadn't seen Jesus yet. Mary Magdalene had told them, I saw Jesus. They're all like, what have you been smoking? And so, now verse 19, let's look at this here. The same day after Mary had seen them, verse 19 of chapter 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to preach what that means. I'll do that later as we're in John. But look at verse 23. I believe they were assembled as a church there that night. And he says, he repeats what he did in Matthew 16 and Matthew 18. He said, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. We'll later see that churches have the authority of church discipline. You see, the Bible says, you know, that if we, you know, it said that in Matthew 18, that if there's a serious enough issue, serious enough sin, the church will need to get involved. We desire that we never have to do that, but if it's a serious enough sin, we might have to bring it to the church, and we always want to be delicate. And then removal of someone from church membership, when you treat them as a heathen and a publican, you still love them, but a heathen, a publican, someone that's lost cannot be a member of Hope Baptist Church. You must be born again. You must have scriptural baptism. So then he says, what sins that you remit, they'll be remitted. What sins you retain, if the church doesn't forgive them in the Lord's sense, then they'll still be chastised for those if they're his. You understand what I'm saying? There's great authority. Now then I want you to turn to Matthew 28, very familiar passage. And you're like, what in the world does this have to do with 1 Timothy chapter 3? I'm trying to figure that out as I preach. Some of you believe that. You may not follow my track, my methods, but it's important for me that you learn these and know this. I just want you to know that where the authority is, it's not in this preacher. There are qualifications that we'll talk about in weeks to come, and I'll say they're qualifications for a pastor, a bishop, an elder. They're also, I think, qualifications for leadership. You should strive for those as well. But I don't want us to be a church where the authority's in me. I love leading. I'll be held accountable for that. I will lead you. I will love you. I will help you. But the authority's with us collectively. That's critical for you to understand. Now Matthew chapter 28, it's the Great Commission. I want you to look at verse 16. I think most of you know this, but I'm not sure if your kids do. I want your kids to know it, and I want you just to leave encouraged. He says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. So these are just the 11. The 11, it says in verse 16. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that's the word for authority. It's not dunamis, it's not that explosive power, but it's all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus says, I have all authority, so when I command you, I have the authority to tell you what to do. He's speaking to the 11. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says the apostles were the first members of the first church. And so, the Great Commission, he says all authority now, he's given the authority to take the gospel and to baptize, not to individual Christians, but to his churches. He says, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. If you didn't know he was speaking to something bigger than the 11, that last phrase, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Are the apostles dead? They are. I'm talking their bodies, okay? Just bear with me. You're like, well, that's a trick question. It's not. You know, if I say, are you going to die? Not your soul, but is your body. They're dead. And he said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. It matches Matthew 16, where he said, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That matches Matthew 28:20, where he says, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He said it in Matthew 16. He repeated it in Matthew 28:20. He said, I'm going to be with my churches until the end of the world. Isn't that good news? But he gives the authority to his churches. So now I want you to turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I give you all of that because it's important. Because here's what I want you to tell you. I believe this. The authority to approve, to set apart, and to ordain preachers is with the Lord's churches. And so you can imagine a couple years ago. Because here's what a lot of people thought. Have you ever been to, how many of you have been to an ordination service? You know, you've been to an ordination service. How many of you knew what was going on at the ordination service? That's good. Oh, that's good that you know. How many of you saw, you know, and we saw this, you know, the laying on of hands. You know, you got to wash your hair that morning because you think, man, that guy might put his hands on my head. How about my shoulder, friend? I'm a little bit more comfortable with that. And so they'd lay their hands on them, right? And so those what might be spiritually mature men, the authority. I brought my ordination certificate this morning because I wanted to just let you know. All the men that were part of the ordination council, they signed it. But the authority that made me, I believe, a scriptural preacher of the gospel didn't involve these men. These men put their reputations on the line. When they laid hands on me, they put their reputations on the line and they said, we believe in Steve. It's why I believe ordination councils ought to also be people that know you, right? And so I had one guy, this is probably being recorded. I had one guy, I still don't know who he is to this day. You know, I'm like, hey, how you doing? It's good. That's a little dangerous, right? And so, I love his spirit because he just wants to be involved in good things. And so, but all the other guys, I went and reviewed this. I know them and they know me. I can't believe they were part of this council. Praise the Lord. That's a forgiving and loving spirit. And I knew all these guys. But listen to this. It says that, you know, it says, we the undersigned, so these are all the guys that were part of the council, upon recommendation and request of the Addison Baptist Church, they said, we solemnly and publicly set apart and ordained to the work of the gospel ministry. But it's this. They weren't the ordainers. It's under the authority and order of Addison Baptist Church. And so I tell you that so that when you begin to understand the qualifications of a pastor, that you begin to understand that ordaining others is under the authority of the church. Now let me give you three reasons of the purpose. The purpose of ordaining. So this is, I know you guys are like, this is such a different message than you normally preach. Normally I'm like, you low down. No, I'm not that much, but I want to move you. So I want you to understand the purpose. It's the authority, right? And this is important. It's a big deal. You, those that are members of Hope Baptist Church, you have a great responsibility. You have great authority collectively. And individually, you have a great responsibility. This is not just some kind of, well, you know, it's something I like to do. It's a big deal that we honor and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand there's a threefold purpose that I see in the scriptures for churches ordaining preachers. One, it's what I'll say the public recognition or approval of the called man. Here's the point. It is, I felt a burden to pastor, a burden to preach, but it's not enough. I needed a church to say, we agree. Because, just like I don't believe this, before I even felt the burden to pastor, I felt the burden to be part of a new work. I didn't have the authority, although I could with the state of Ohio. I could go and start a church legally, but I don't think I could scripturally on my own. Because it's an issue of authority. You see, and I believe it's the Lord's churches that have authority, not a man. You see, that's always important. It's to understand who has the authority here. I'm a pastor, but the authority resides with the membership, not the pastor. It's important. I'm just trying to preach the next verse. I'm not coming up, you know, next week I'll tell you why I preach this. I'm telling you why I preach this because I want you to know it. That's why. It's the authority is with the Lord's churches. And so then a man has an internal burden. A church then says, we agree. And we ordain him. We set him apart. We approve him for the sake of the gospel ministry of Jesus Christ. Secondly, I believe it's to protect ministry. It's important. Now, I want you to know this. I'm not going to go this far, but I'm telling you what I would recommend. Does someone have to be ordained to pastor? I don't know if I can say that dogmatically. What I would recommend is absolutely I would recommend that. Doesn't mean that someone can't preach in the pulpit and not be ordained. And see, that the Bible doesn't say that. I want to stick with what the Bible says, right? But I believe this, that you should strive to find a man that's ordained, or you as an authority can ordain a man under the gospel of Jesus Christ and then have him be your pastor, right? And so that's what they did with Josh McGee. He was their youth leader, and then he was their interim pastor as their other pastor left. But then they said, we want to make him our pastor, but we want him to be ordained. And the church ordained him and then installed him as their pastor. That was very biblical. That was very good. And so it was also good because the church which he pastored ordained them as well, and that was good. And so it's to protect ministry. And understand, things God puts in place, it's to protect you. And it's important that you remember that. There's great responsibility with the authority. But I don't want you to ever get mixed up, because I'm in front of you a lot. 3 times a week. Preaching 45 minutes each time, and that's a lot. You might misunderstand. I'm not the boss. The Lord has his churches have the authority. It's critical that we understand that. The churches ordain preachers, and they do that. Third thing is, I think it's to encourage the called man of God. It's this. It's humbling. It's humbling, right? When someone's ordained and someone puts their reputation on the line and they say, we believe in this man, it's encouraging. And they pray for them. And it's a great sense of accountability, but that's why we do it. Now, I want to take you real quickly. I want to take you, and I'm gonna try to wrap this up, not too much longer, but I want to take you to some other scriptures that talk about ordaining elders. Will you look with me at let's just look at 2 Timothy 4:22. I want to show you 2 Timothy 4:22. And so there was a method to my madness the reason I wanted you to understand this is this is important too. As we begin to go through the qualifications of a bishop, that just means overseer. Baptists don't use bishop that much anymore. The reason why is because other churches have hijacked it, and it's gotten so confusing that we don't believe in a hierarchy. You see, what bishops and have become is it's a system of hierarchy. We don't believe that. See, there's just no hierarchy in the Lord's churches. What I mean is it's the church. It's the assembly. It's not this level, then this level, then this level. It's also why, just so you know, why we're an independent Baptist church. Nobody else out there is telling us what to do. In fact, nobody else out there knows we exist. That's why we got to go to every creature and tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? So I believe we're an independent Baptist church. That means we will answer to God and we answer to one another. And so that's why we do that. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 22, ends this epistle here. And it says this. He says, the Lord Jesus, as Paul writes to Timothy here, and as he was the pastor at Ephesus, he says, the Lord Jesus Christ be with my spirit, be with thy spirit. Grace be unto you. Amen. And let me ask you, tell me, I want to see whose Bible, in my Bible, it says this. He says, this is the second epistle unto Timotheus, ordained the first bishop of the church of the Ephesians, was written from Rome when Paul was brought before Nero the second time. Your Bible say that? Anybody doesn't say that? So it doesn't say that? It's an important part. It's that it just tell you that he was ordained there. I want you to see that. Look over to Acts chapter 14, verse 23. This is as Paul was on his missionary journeys. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. Paul and Barnabas here as they would go city to city. You remember this? In Acts chapter 13, Paul was sent out by the church at Antioch. Even the great apostle Paul did not have the authority to freelance and go do things on his own. He went out under the authority of the church at Antioch. And here's what they did in Acts chapter 14, verse 23. It says this, that Paul and Barnabas, as they were going city to city, and it says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And so then look over to Titus chapter 1 verse 5. Titus chapter 1 verse 5. Titus chapter 1 verse 5. It says this. It says, for this cause, Titus 1 5, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. All the T's are together in alphabetical order. That's how I memorized it, right? Because I could never, I struggled. I struggled when I was a kid. Which one goes first? And then somebody told me it's all the T's are together and they're in alphabetical order. I never forgot that. And I say it every time I turn there. For this cause, Titus chapter 1 verse 5, for this cause I left thee in Crete that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Understand this, as we send missionaries out and we support missionaries and they go and they're church planting missionaries. You understand what they would do is they would plant new churches and they would lead those works to ordain, to approve, to set apart preachers, to set apart elders, to set apart those that would lead the works. And that's what it talks about in Titus chapter 1 verse 5. And then finally, let me just help you understand the laying on of hands. Look back at 1 Timothy 4, 14. And then I'll bring it to a close. Why did I bring up all this? And I'll make sure that you try to leave with why I did. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Paul encouraging this young man, probably in his 30s, Timothy. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Right? Hold your fingers there, then turn back to Acts chapter 6, the first installment of deacons. Acts chapter 6 verse 6, as they then install these seven deacons that are in verse 5, it says this, it says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And then turn over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 3, when Paul and Barnabas were set apart for the mission field. And look at verse 2. We'll just start there. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so now quickly back to 1 Timothy 4:14. So I want you just to understand what's going on. The authority is always within the Lord's churches. It's not individuals. This is important. We don't have the right just to go and live our Christian lives alone. The authority is within the Lord's churches. And so as we talk about the qualifications of a pastor in the next week or two, here's the key. I've heard too many Christians say this. Well, he shouldn't be a pastor. That's not for you to decide. I just want you to know this. The only one that you should be deciding about and looking at and determining is he qualified is your church. You understand that? It's churches that ordain and churches that call preachers to lead them, right? It's a little bit of this independent freelance Christianity. You can't tell another church what they have to do. You might give them counsel. You might give them advice. But the authority that the membership of Hope Baptist Church has is only over Hope Baptist Church. So here's the key. When we start going through the qualifications, I don't want you to be thinking of any other preacher. That's not our job. We got a tiger by the tail, don't we? Trying to be the kind of church that the Lord wants, and we got a long way to go. We got a long way to go. And let me tell you, when we go through the qualifications of a pastor, it's daunting. It's daunting. In the absolute sense, man, I'm not qualified. I look at those qualifications and it's daunting. And so it's in some sense, you've had to make decisions that say, you know, we have to, you know, and the Lord says, what you remit, he'll remit, what you retain, he'll retain. And so you're never going to have a perfect pastor. So you have to look at the qualifications as a whole. But I think we need to look at them individually as well. But here's my point. My point is this, is the authority is with each independent church. One church should not, biblically and scripturally, have authority over another church. And so I just want us to be that way as Christians. Be careful if we start talking in any way that tries to tell another church what they should do. You know what I love? I love being an independent Baptist church. I love that, this is my objective. The only time I ever want to be critical of another church if they preach a false gospel. If they preach a false gospel, I believe it is required of me to highlight that and preach that and teach that if the sheep are at risk of being duped. And look, I know this, it's very dangerous. I speak of Roman Catholicism, not because I hate Roman Catholics, because it's a false gospel. I don't say that with hate. I say that because we need to be armed and aware, because what we have in our community is a dominance of Roman Catholicism. But we've got to love these people. But other than that, other than institutions preaching a false gospel, there's no place in this pulpit for me to go and start railing on other churches. I love that the authority, the power resides with the people, but it's only with our church. Final thought on laying on of hands. All it is the presbytery there. It's just talking about a group of elders, a group of spiritually mature men that give the church confidence as they lay hands. Look at 1 Timothy 4:14, and I'll close with this. Paul says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." Paul was actually engaging Timothy, and he says, remember these men? These men that gave their support and put their reputations on the line for you? He says, don't neglect that. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And so I will tell you is, I need to remember that. You know, to be ordained of God through one of His churches, it's a big deal. I need your prayers. I don't want to be a phony. I want to be the real deal. But here's what I tell you is this. I said all this. This is very important. I'm such a believer in this. And you know, sometimes you question yourself as a pastor. And I know it's a rainy day and it's a little warm in here. You guys look wore out, and I feel like I'm the one that wore you out today. But it's this. I want you to be committed. I want you to be committed to the Lord's ways. I want you to be committed that His churches are how He intends to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And His churches, it's the people, it's the membership of each independent autonomous church that has the authority. Not the preacher. Oh, I have the blessing, the privilege to preach the Word of God, but the authority is within you. I want you to know that. That as we go out and we leave these walls, Matthew 28:16-20, He's given His churches authority to go. And the problem is I don't know if we grasp that. We've been given the authority, but we don't do it. I want to encourage you today. I wanted you to understand as we go through the qualifications, it's your job. And so this is me just being, if, you know, what I've heard this term, you know, with the President of the United States, they say, I serve at His pleasure. I serve at your pleasure. You're the authority. And I better never forget that. And I don't want you to forget that. The authority was given to the Lord's churches. It's a great privilege. It's a big deal. And let's live like it. Let's live like, whoa, what a privilege to be given the Great Commission, to be given authority to ordain preachers, to deal with big deal things of discipline with the Lord. It's a big deal. Are you serving the Lord the way you should? Let's pray.